Thank you, John. Brian Tutzer, 770 KTTH. This sounds like from the same people that brought you the walking bus. Did you all catch that story? Instead of, you know, prosecuting anyone that would attack a Seattle or King County worker as they leave their hovels at 5 p.m., instead of providing safe streets, no. You cluster up around some, you know, I don't know how much they're paid, but some people labeled as security, King County security. And then you all walk, you know, down to Coleman Dock. You know, I don't know. I don't know what the limit of the security people's endurance was. And some of them, it didn't look like they could make it back uphill from the ferry dock. But anyway, from the same people that gave you that solution to the problem of street crime in Seattle, comes this, and I haven't seen the video, but as Jason Rantz writes at MyNorthwest.com, on November 24th, there were two high-profile incidents. One of them I read about, but I haven't seen. And this is quoting Jason, quote, the first incident involved a suspect using rocks to break 9 courthouse windows. Did I hear a 9 in there? A niner? 9 courthouse windows. Well, that could, shut up. Smart guy. That could just take a few seconds. No. He goes back to the article. The incident occurred across 2 hours, yet courthouse security was somehow unable to intervene. Well, because they're busy doing a walking bus. Hello. The police were called, but due to the staffing crisis, were apparently unable to respond. The suspect jumped on a bus and left the area. What should have happened? I don't know. Somebody responsible for physical security after the 3rd broken window. How about that? Come out there and stop him. And I don't care. I don't care if you give him a mahogany shampoo, as some in law enforcement used to say here in Seattle before we were enlightened. But I don't know what to do to stop a guy from doing public vandalism. And let me just say this about that. Okay, if this guy breaks 9 of your windows, you know, you're calling insert name of insurance company here. You're still kind of screwed for weeks and weeks because if you don't know this, King County does, there's a glass shortage. But it's going to be paid for. It's going to be dealt with. You're insured. Okay, when this guy, and it hasn't been caught, when this A-clown breaks 9 windows in the King County Courthouse, if he didn't, well, I'm not going to say the county. If you're a King County taxpayer, you're paying for it. That's the difference between political assassination and just regular murder of a stranger. You know, assassination is an attack on a civilization, right? That's why we treat it differently. Okay, well, defacing statues is a different deal because you're attacking history. Breaking windows in a public building, way different deal. Way different deal. And you know whose windows aren't getting broken? Try federal windows in Seattle. Well, I don't know about now, but this time last year, federal windows were not getting broken. But so what solution has King County proposed? Well, like I say, from the people who gave you the walking bus instead of safe streets, bulletproof windows is what they have proposed. The bus incident was one. In a memo that Jason's read, the suspect returned to break 5 more windows. This time, Seattle Police Department responded, but the man left again. He remains at large. The second incident of greater concern, and I'm quoting, county workers noticed a bullet hole in a window on the 2nd floor. After an investigation, officials do not suspect it was the result of a gunshot, but they boarded up the window and are continuing an investigation. Due to glass shortages, it will take approximately 6 to 8 weeks before the windows are repaired, said a memo. So anyway, they're going to put, rather than simply arresting a guy who broke 14 windows, they're going to replace him with unbreakable windows, which bulletproof windows or Lexan or whatever, they don't break, but they scratch. They're not like glass. How about that? How about cracking open the city civil code or the criminal code and look for vandalism. See if that's in there, because that'd be a tremendous oversight if it was not illegal to break junk. Oh no, I'm sorry. I don't want to get into that. But if you haven't heard, we have reporters out on this. Tom Brady's wife saved a sea turtle, and so far, as I surf through here, only Fox has not broken in with that news, and I'm not kidding. NBC broke in with that news. But anyway, rather than simply enforcing civil streets laws and things like that, that's what you get is, oh, well, we'll solve that. Walking bus. Well, we already tried that. We did that last month. Okay, no more walking bus. How about bulletproof, break-proof glass? So there's that. I mean, and you saw how this played out in Portland. You know, it was the greatest surge in plywood sales in, you know, for decades, and the federal courthouse did it and the whole thing. And I'm not quite sure what they were there for, but they were for some reason throwing rocks at the federal courthouse. And then Trump had the unmitigated gall to send people to actually protect the federal courthouse. And by send, I mean, he told local ATF and DEA guys to put their tactical kit on. It wasn't like some invading army. So anyway, why King County or City of Seattle can't do that to protect public property, I don't know. But they would probably look at this and say, well, this is a superior plan, because see, people get paid and they need a health plan and the whole thing. Bulletproof glass, you put it in once. King County Prosecuting Attorneys Association spokesperson Dara Hinton told King 5, quote, "I think there is a strong sense of fear among a lot of employees after hearing news of that incident. But I would reiterate, this is not about that one incident. This is about longstanding concerns that we've had, that we've raised with the county." So there you go. There's no solution like a short-term solution that avoids the actual problem. You know, there's nothing like getting to the root of the symptom. You know, we've found the symptom and we've taken care of it with a one-time purchase, and it'll never happen again. Meanwhile, the unknown glass breaker is at large, and you know, maybe their evil plan is that he most likely doesn't read MyNorthwest.com, and that he goes back with a really big brick, throws it at the Lexan, the newly installed Lexan, and it bounces back and bonks him right in the head. Insert wacky sound effect here. And I don't have that. Instead, here's the sound of Tom Brady's wife rescuing a sea turtle. Okay, back in a second, we'll check traffic, and I'll update you on what we know about President Biden and this firm stance he's going to take via Zoom call, or, you know, secure video call with Vladimir Putin. And if anyone is going to crash it with some middle school prank or something like that, Brian Suits here, 770 KTTH at 7:14 in the morning. Let's check our right way traffic. Thank you, John. 770 KTTH. Brian Suits back here. Well, so the buildup continues, the concerning buildup of which is a pre-assault formations of the Russian army is what I say. But the media says concerning buildup. And that's something that you should talk to your 15-year-old son about, I would think. No, it's the Russians are moving the new decentralized Russian army that are in smaller but more capable mobile units into their what we call in the military pre-assault positions. And make no mistake, it's winter to us, but not to them. It's December. To us, it's winter. The reason that this looks serious and not an exercise is because it's no longer an exercise, because they did this exercise in April and they decided it worked. Let's get ready to do this in December. This kind of thing for Putin, money is not a small consideration in doing what he's done. It costs a lot of money. And when all the pieces are in place and they're just in stasis, they're just sitting there, it costs money for those guys to just sit there. And they also lose their edge and the whole thing. So what Biden, in the name of NATO, and, you know, yeah, it's a treaty alliance and we're all equals. But the United States is NATO. And so for people, for folks in the media tuning in, because you don't understand this, the NATO treaty applies only to NATO nations. No single NATO member can wave a wand or wave their hand and say, I NATO you. Ukraine, I NATO you. You're an honorary NATO member for the next 3 months. You can't do that. You just can't. If an election were held today with the Atlantic Council, the process through which NATO accepts new countries, and we went through this with the collapse of the Soviet Union and the Warsaw Pact, and slowly, in dribs and drabs, added Eastern Europe to NATO as they wished. You know, that's the thing. It's like you come to Belgium and you knock on the door and you make the case why you want to be in NATO. We don't, you know, NATO. NATO doesn't go around absorbing people. Okay. So Biden can't say that. And so then, and the reason being, NATO's Article 5, I would have thought it'd be Article 1, but anyway, it's Article 5, the mutual defense part of the NATO charter. And that's why on September 11, 2001, Dutch and RAF and Canadians and all that brought AWACS aircraft to North America. And, you know, we grounded the, you know, commercial airline fleet and the whole thing. That was NATO's first Article 5 action, because the United States had been attacked. It doesn't say attacked by a nation state. It says attacked. It's, you know, freaking Martians or those, you know, scheming Venusians attack America or attack Belgium, because who wouldn't? NATO defends them, according to Article 5. Well, there is no Article 5 invocation for Ukraine because they're not NATO members, and nor is Georgia. So when Putin invaded Georgia in 2008, there were NATO troops on the ground in Georgia as advisors, but not because Georgia was a NATO member. They did nothing. There were Israelis on the ground, too. When Putin invaded Crimea, there were NATO people on the ground in the west of Ukraine, but it wasn't an attack on a NATO member, nor would it be later on tonight when Putin invades Ukraine, right after the phone call, because that's the kind of sense of humor he has. And so what does he want out of Biden? Well, basically, here's what he wants. He wants permission to invade. He's going to tell Biden, and they're being pretty cagey. I went to whitehouse.gov thinking there'd be answers, but no. It's my understanding we're in the window where they're in the secure call. Putin's going to say, hey, bro, he'll probably say that. Listen, the eastern third of Ukraine is majority Russian. They're not Ukrainians. They already have two autonomous republics, and you guys have said nothing about it, except you wish they wouldn't. Please promise me you're not going to allow Ukraine into NATO, because you and I both know it's a corrupt basket case. And Biden can agree to all that, because it's all true. Every American president since approximately 1999 has been told, yeah, there's some countries that are NATO worthy, and then there's some that are not. And Ukraine's definitely one of those that are not. But what can he say to Putin about, well, yeah, but you don't do that. Oh, yeah, but don't invade Ukraine. You know, I'm not Obama, but I was the vice president. And when you guys invaded Crimea, we slapped all kinds of sanctions on you. And you remember that, and you feel the sting of that. And those were actually, when he invaded Crimea, the sanctions on him were actually pretty harsh. Didn't make headlines here, but they were kind of a big deal. They actually had an impact. But he learned a lesson, because Putin was about to take delivery of two aircraft carriers that they couldn't make in Russia, because their biggest shipyard was in Ukraine. They couldn't make them in Russia. So who was making Putin two aircraft carriers? Well, good friends, the French. And so these two nearly complete aircraft carriers, suddenly when the EU slapped sanctions on Putin, one of the sanctions was no weapon sales. Well, if you drill down on page 8 of our contract, an aircraft carrier can be used as a weapon. When I say aircraft carrier, it was a smaller assault, like we have. Helicopter and vertical takeoff aircraft carrier, right? Distinction without a difference for purposes of our discussion. He paid for them. And they're in a shipyard in France, nearly complete. And he couldn't take delivery of them. And he went, France. So the French at that point said, well, we don't have any need for them. You know, we're all filled up, you know, in the nuclear aircraft carrier department. We don't need these two things. We couldn't afford them anyway. We don't have enough sailors to know what the hell they're doing. We don't need these two. And so Putin stood by in 2013. And he watched his two aircraft carriers. And for some reason, the guy's in love with the Navy. His father was a submariner or submariner, whatever it is. He's in love with his Navy. And along comes Saudi Arabia to France. And they say, we like the cut of the jib of these two ships here. How much? And the French had a choice. It was either, because they had to return the money to Russia. It was either lose money or make some money. So they took the Saudi money. The Saudis bought the two aircraft carriers, and they promptly gave them to Egypt. So now Egypt has two aircraft carriers, the Sadat and the Nasser. And every time they sail around the Mediterranean, Putin loses a year of his life. He gets really mad about that. But here's the thing. That's what I would be saying to Putin. Do you remember 2012? You think we can't reach out and touch you? And because he's thinking in terms of, well, what's NATO going to do militarily? You can't sell a war with me right now, not with the Omicron variant, you know. And besides the fact, your European allies are only eating in light at night and with warmth because I'm selling them gas. And I can not sell them gas if I want. If they sanction me, guess what I do? There'll be a sudden run on sweaters in Western Europe because everybody from but France and England, especially the Germans, they get their gas from Putin. So, I mean, his setup here is absolutely rope-a-dope. And the one thing that Biden could say is, we'll go it alone. We'll kinetically hit you. Well, here's the other thing that Putin knows is that he is on his home field and there's no peer-to-peer advantage for the United States in that part of the world. He's on his home field. He has the entire home field advantage. It's winter. It is his territory. They know what they're doing. He knows we'd be bluffing. And so you have to ask yourself, before we know anything about this phone call, you have to ask yourself, if you're Vladimir Putin and your goal is to put all the ethnic Russians in a place called Russia, what is stopping you? And I'm fresh out of answers, I got to tell you. And this is also, by the way, this is sort of a proof of performance for China to see can Putin have an effect on this guy, Biden. Speaking of home field in Russia, how about that Buffalo game? Did you only saw the highlights, Brady?
I saw the highlights, but I watched plenty of the game, just not like all the way through.
Who do you think? Who was Russia? The Bills?
No.
You don't think? I think Russia was the Bills.
I think they were the Patriots.
Granted, the name changed. They won.
Yeah. They won.
Little thing there.
And they had to do the smallest thing possible, but it had the biggest impact.
I would say if you saw any of that game last night, that's what Eastern Ukraine looks like pretty much now. If not now, wait till January. So I don't mind telling you, knowing Putin's track record, it is really easy to say this is not a negotiating ploy because this is too much money. This costs too much money. There's an end state here. And I think he's already made the decision. And we're at the will you take our phone call stage, kind of like the Patriots in the third quarter last night. So there's your Nell, dude. So, Brian Suits in here. Back in a second, 770 KTTH. Let's check our right-way traffic. Still looking. Right. 770 KTTH. Brian Suits here. How come I don't have anything in my headphones? I don't hear anything in my headphones except me talking. I don't know why. Sorry that we're doing this on the air, but whatever happened. Oh, I know why. That's all me. I found I self-diagnosed right there. Anyway, I just found out that the super secret Zoom call, the secure voice communication thing between Putin and Biden, is actually underway right now, where it is 6:32 in Moscow, and 10:30 in D.C., 10:30 a.m. So, as I say, both leaders looking forward to a nice nap in their respective time zones. So we'll get back to that. Looking for more details from, you know, this horrific story, Granite Falls over the weekend, 1-year-old infant shot and killed. Really, more than 48 hours later, got to tell you, Bray, nothing more yesterday except that detectives are still on the scene. And that today, Snohomish County Coroner is going to release the identity, you know, the deceased infant, the whole thing. I'm stunned by this that we're not hearing more about it, because, as I said, there is no accidental scenario that results in a dead 1-year-old. It's a weapon was left unsecured, and the whole thing. Like I say, as Johnny Second Amendment, it comes with a gigantic responsibility, and it's that you secure your firearms to your context. You have kids in the house, you put them places they can't reach, locked up. If you want to keep them in condition one, I won't explain, then go ahead, but just have them locked up and out of the way of the kids. Fine. And so anyway, we'll get more. I'm sure we'll find out more. I also meant to get a story yesterday. So there was a Wall Street Journal article, and it was on Drudge all day long. China seeks Atlantic naval base, right? And it was based on a Wall Street Journal exclusive. China seeks first military base on Africa's Atlantic coast. U.S. intelligence finds, and it's in the nation of Equatorial Guinea. Tiny nation, amazingly corrupt. Oh, what luck. They found oil and natural gas offshore. That'll straighten them out. And that is, in fact, with the sort of the trigger for the astounding corruption in Equatorial Guinea to kick off, with the ruling family skimming hundreds of millions over a decade plus. And so here's, if you want the anatomy of an American foreign policy failure, how does it result that the the PLA Navy, as they're called, the plan, it's called the People's Liberation Army Navy, because the Chinese military is the People's Liberation Army. How does it result that the Chinese Navy has a base on the Atlantic, on the west coast of Africa? And it really boils down to the ruling family. The ruling family, amazingly corrupt, in a dirt poor third world country. However, there's a limit to the corruption that this family has. Even they cannot squirrel away that much money. Equatorial Guinea has the highest per capita median income in all of sub-Saharan Africa. And, I mean, higher than South Africa and the rest of it. Okay. So you can't say, well, look at that. You're enriching yourself while your people starve. Well, no, they know. You know, once you start eating more pie than other people, you buy more pies. But the United States makes your governance and your human rights record, you know, the deal. Of course, we've gone the last 40 years lashing ourselves because we've supported bad regimes in the past and blah, 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 blah. Well, the leader, Mr. Obiang, and the Obiang family has ruled the country since 1979. The discovery of huge, huge offshore gas and oil reserves in 1996 allegedly allowed members of his family to spend lavishly on exotic cars, mansions, and other luxuries, according to U.S. State and Justice Department investigations. And they're correct about that. By the way, the son of the leader like the sons of pretty much every Gulf and Arab state, has property in Malibu in California. A U.S. federal court had, the son was squirreling away ill-gotten gains in the United States. He was found guilty, and so what did he do? He surrendered his house in Malibu and a Ferrari and a whole bunch of jewelry and stuff. I mean, it's a corrupt country. Oh, by the way, if you oppose this ruling family, you might disappear. You might be tortured. You might disappear and be tortured, but we'll never know because you disappeared. You know, that is how they stay in power. Okay, not nice people. You know who doesn't care about that? You know who doesn't make you sign a disclaimer before you accept all the foreign aid? You know who couldn't give? You know who's fresh out of capital F's about that? Spoiler, yeah, China. You had it right. China couldn't care less. In fact, China arrives in Equatorial Guinea and they say, love your work. Love your work, bro. How do you do it? The Wall Street Journal goes on. Contacted by the Wall Street Journal, Gabriel Obiang Lima, Equatorial Guinea's oil minister and one of the president's sons, nicknamed Hunter, requested that questions about his country's relationship with China and allegations of corruption in his family be submitted in writing. He didn't respond to those questions. Equatorial Guinea's ambassador in Washington didn't respond to multiple interview requests, probably because he was surprised at being reminded that he's Equatorial Guinea's ambassador. So anyway, you get where I'm going on this. When you saw that headline, surely we're not going to allow China to have a naval base in the Atlantic. what can we do? What are you going to do? Overthrow the government of Equatorial Guinea? Oh, no, we don't do that stuff anymore. No, we're better now. We're smarter foreign policy. So does China care that country is a kleptocracy? No, they don't. And you can make the argument that they're in favor of it. That is a magnet towards them. And I worked as a private contractor in the Horn of Africa in a wee little country called Djibouti, a former French colony. There was a huge American base. It was a French base, Camp Le Monnier. We didn't even rename it, Camp Freedom Fries or something like that. And the company that I worked for got a contract. This is at the height of the piracy scare, around the Horn of Africa. When, what's the Tom Hanks movie? Captain
Phillips.
Captain Phillips. Avast, matey. Give me your doubloons. Okay. During the height of that, the State Department started throwing money at the East Coast of Africa. And the company that I worked for won one of the contracts, and we built a counter-piracy training facility for the Djiboutian Coast Guard. Okay, that was all very nice and well. Within 3 years, the Chinese came. We began to ramp down the need for the Horn of Africa and Djibouti, and they were dependent on American foreign aid for like 40% of their GDP. And suddenly we said, all right, we're gone. And the Chinese came in and they said, nice tiny country you got here. Shame if anything happened to it. Tell you what, we'll build you a world-class port. And they did. But part of it has to be Chinese Navy base. And the Djiboutians said, whatever, just not the face. Just start going. So the Chinese built a world-class port right on top of your tax dollars, which were well spent, very efficiently spent. They built China's very first overseas military base on top of a training facility that cost you many, many millions. And they use it. They go on cruises, first time ever. And there's nothing we could do about it. And Djibouti was a friend. And then we pulled the cash away. And now you saw that top of drudge all day long. China Naval Base Atlantic. Really? What are you going to do? It's a corrupt kleptocracy. This is redundant. But say goodbye to that. So our foreign policy really seems to be broken today. We'll see if the White House is seeing. I think they are confirming that the super secret secure video meeting is underway. How does it affect you at this very moment? It does not. However, Brian Suitzer, 770 KTTH, your right way traffic does. That would be clearing my throat. Kansas with their number one hit. 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here on your Tuesday morning. And the RT, the Russia Today, the English language Russian news outlet, has like a live feed. And there, you know, there's no footage of what's going on. There's footage from earlier that Fox just ran of Putin having his dinner and getting ready to go to bed after he owns Joe Biden. And so we'll know a lot more. But according to Disclosed TV, I don't know where we are with them. I've yet to see them step on a part of them that they shouldn't step on. But anyway, they're saying, just in, Biden administration reportedly mulls a nuclear option, which would be disconnecting Russia from the SWIFT payment system in case they invade Ukraine. And this is because Russia's economy is two things. It's energy and weapons. That's it. Their GDP is less than Italy. And the Italians, like, don't work. So what is SWIFT? If you don't know, that's the worldwide oil payments. You can't do business in energy without SWIFT. The Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunication. It's the online money transfer system that it's under Belgian law, and you must make that accent. And so if you're Exxon, if you're BP, if you're Tehaco, you know, any of those, if you're anybody, this is how you send money. This is how, you know, that's why it's a part of the reason it's a worldwide energy market. Part of the reason, you know, a refinery explosion in Texas affects the gas price in Canada, or a better one, the Suez Canal, because some drunk skipper, you know, tries to parallel park in the Suez Canal. It has an immediate effect on the oil price because it's a worldwide thing. You know, all the oil, even though there's many, many different grades, it all goes into a giant pot, and you dip out of it by SWIFT. So the Russians rely on the SWIFT financial transfer system to get payments from Western Europe for their natural gas. Okay, so who do you think has more leverage here? The freezing Europeans sitting in the dark, wearing four sweaters and a sustainably harvested mink coat, or Vladimir Putin, with all the natural gas in the world that he needs, just said he's not making money. He turns to all the oligarchs and he says, guys, time to pay up. I have allowed you to absolutely eviscerate the former Soviet Union, become wealthy beyond belief. If you're still in this country, you're going to be supporting Ukraine invasion 2.0. So you have to know what your cards say. And so because I don't think not one person I've seen in the American media understands the significance of what's going on right now nearly as much as Vladimir Putin. And I certainly don't think that anyone in Joe Biden's orbit has made him understand how important this is. This isn't just some phone call where you're going to lay out some leverage and, oh, you know, we're going to sanction that mistress of yours and her model, her hot yoga studio in Santa Barbara down the street from Prince Harry. True story. We're going to increase her property taxes in Santa Barbara. No. Putin knows something they don't know. He knows something that the Europeans know. They wish they hadn't gotten into, but they know it too. And that is, it's December. It's going to be January, and then right on schedule, right after January, is going to be February. If you can all sleep in sweaters for 3 months, then you'll have leverage over Vladimir Putin. And so that's why for him, running the table is, I want a verbal guarantee that not only is Ukraine never part of NATO, but that you're going to get NATO troops out of Ukraine. You'll stop selling weapons to Ukraine, even for self-defense. You'll get NATO trainers out of Ukraine, and you'll turn a blind eye when I occupy these two breakaway provinces because they're full of Russians. The Ukrainians don't even want them. And I might, you know, take some territory, and we'll call it a buffer. So I don't know how they'll portray it here in the United States. I do know in a couple hours they're going to be far more interested in what Putin tells his own people. And I know what he's going to tell them right now. It's going to be, once again, we went to the brink and we won, and the Americans blinked. This is none of their business anyway. This is Russian business. It's not NATO business, not American business. And that's that. Oh, by the way, stick your nose out of Belarus, too. So I'm telling you right now, it's not going to be a good day. And is it a coincidence that it's the 80th anniversary of the Pearl Harbor attack? Yes, it is. It is. Is it a coincidence that it's December? No, it's not. Because this is what the Russian army has told Putin. If you absolutely want every advantage, numbers, familiarity, massive forces, a good plan, experience on the train, plus weather. Let's wait till December. And if you're unaware of this, by the way, December is the lowest readiness month in the entire U.S. military. You understand, the U.S. military is a lot more religious than most of the United States. And everyone wants December, weeks and weeks and weeks of vacation in December taken off. So anyway, we'll and here's the shame of this. All of this news about this brinkmanship with Putin, the China stuff, the looming communist Olympics, what is taking off the front page is that Tom Brady's wife rescued a sea turtle. So I apologize on that. I'll give you a little bit of it. I think we'll return to this because there are some new updates from Tom Brady's wife, Gisele Bündchen, rescuing a sea turtle. So we'll get to that. If there's anything leaking out of the here, take Ukraine, have fun with it. We'll tell you and more. Also, U.S. News World Report and AP, how are they covering the Sawant recall? For an event that doesn't affect most people around here, especially listeners of KTTH, a lot of people are paying attention to this, just trying to see. After 7 years of beclowning Seattle, is this professor going to have to get a day job besides agitating into an open microphone? We'll see. All right, back with hour number three right after this, the latest out of the Putin-Biden mutual nap session and more. Brian Suits here at 770 KTTH. Let's check in with your right-way traffic.